You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show.
Yes.
Woo!
Oh, man, great episode.
Welcome back, everybody. Bing is for doing, and here we are doing another AfterBuzz TV episode of Dexter, Season 7, Episode 5, Swim Deep. I am your host, Sean Overman, and I am joined here by my lovely co-hosts. Everybody's lovely here.
JJ Juergens.
I'm Stephen Lemieux.
I'm Anna Koppel, and I want to disagree that everybody's lovely here.
Yeah, Stephen is looking. Right now, he's wearing a blood-spattered shirt.
Not splattered,
not splattered,
but spattered.
Spatter.
Yes, we're using the correct policing terms here and crime scene investigation.
Well, I have Isaac here, and then I have Victor here. A little bit of Lewis, you know.
And you were very messy. You have gunshot residue on your shirt as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have some of Dokes going on there, right?
Right.
That's all good.
Very well. So thank you guys for joining us here. So if you guys want to, hit us up on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. And, of course, you can check us out Facebook.com/AfterBuzzTV. Or you can call into the studio, 424-256-1729. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about, of course, Deb and Dex, like we usually do with their relationship going on. We got some Isaac Bazkov stuff where he was really kick-ass,
yeah,
this episode.
Dude. He's like Bruce Willis in this episode.
Seriously, yeah. Man. And I love his accent.
Oh. I love him too. Fantastic casting. So great, yeah, to have him.
Great actor.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Hannah McKay, LaGuardia and her blood slide hypothesis that the Bay Harbor Butcher's still out there. And we got some side plot action going on with Masuka, Quinn and Batista, and we'll talk about what's going on with them.
Is his last name Bazkov?
Yeah, isn't it?
Well, it was Victor Bazkov.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's Isaac Serko.
Yeah, Isaac Serko.
Excuse me.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait,
oh,
a second.
Man. That good was... catch. Good catch. Okay.
Catch, yeah.
I wrote that on accident. Yeah, so Isaac Serko. Thanks for that.
Okay, cool. I totally forgot that too. I was like, wait a second.
So anyway, let's go ahead and talk about Deb and Dex. So in this episode, we start to see that LaGuardia is obviously investigating a lot more into the potential victims of the Bay Harbor Butcher that may still be out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that, well, Deb goes to Dex and she's like, okay, so do you recognize any of these people? And I thought he was going to recognize a lot more.
I thought he'd just be like, yeah, okay, well, that page, and like two quarters of that
page. All of them,
page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was convenient how it was just one from each of the pages.
Yeah.
So that was good. It made it seem a little bit less. If I was Deb, I would be like, oh, thank goodness that's it. Right?
Right. And only one of them had family in Miami, so that made it even more convenient.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. So, obviously, she's very concerned about LaGuardia finding him, and LaGuardia chose the wrong person to confide in.
Yeah.
Deb was really slick in that moment. She said, you know, Dokes was my partner. He was a good man. Is there anything I can do to help?
Mm-hmm.
And that was really smart of Deb. She was, yeah, it was a quick turn there.
Well, it seems like Deb kind of didn't like Dokes then anyway, because Dokes was my partner. She didn't mention Dokes really at all after she found out Dexter was the one who Dokes took the fall for, basically, and they pinned it all on.
Yeah.
But,
you know, what's hilarious is I didn't, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what's hilarious is I forgot that Dokes and Deb were partners together back in season 2. That's so crazy. Or was it season 1 slash season 2?
Season 1, and Dokes was not nice to her.
No,
yeah.
And neither was LaGuerta, so it's actually good to see Deb. Like, I kind of liked the turn because it was nice to see her
manipulating.
Right, yeah. Kind of playing it a little bit instead of just being so, like, ugh, like, shocked by Dexter's thing. It was nice to see her kind of.
Well, you remember every time Deb would go to LaGuerta with something, like, remember the Captain Matthews thing, like, LaGuerta would be that consoling, yeah, confide in me, and then throw you under the bus.
Yeah, she was always mean to her.
Exactly. So
she owes her no loyalty.
It's so funny that LaGuerta would choose Deb of all people to be the one to confide in because she hates her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ugh.
I think they're both women with authority in a workplace. There aren't a lot of women in that police department. And I think that can be hard.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
You're absolutely right. That's the way a lot of female police officers are. You know, they have to project that masculinity when they're in the department because otherwise they're not going to be taken seriously.
I think that's the way a lot of women are, period, in any position and
in any workplace.
In any workplace where it's predominantly male, they have any sort of power. Even if they don't have any kind of power, they have to work, I think, three times as hard to prove their worth. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yay, Marissa.
Oh, you ladies have that glass ceiling.
No, I totally agree, and it's usually always actually the women, too. The other women working there, they're the first people to throw them under the bus or, like, be against them, too. So it's tough all the way around.
Right. Ladies, stick together.
Exactly.
Come on. Her manipulation with LaGuerta, in the very beginning of the episode, Dexter's cleaning his boat, and with Harry.
Yeah, I love Harry being around.
Yeah. I do. And he said to Harry that he, you know, Harry was upset that he told Deb, and Dexter said, you don't think she could handle it because you couldn't handle it, but Deb is stronger than you. And I love that quote, and I think it's totally true. I think that Deb is much stronger. Well, I don't really know Harry that well, but but I think Deb is strong enough to handle it. I think she's proving that in actions like manipulating LaGuerta and stealing evidence and, you know, she and helping murder people or covering up murders, rather.
You guys love that scene in the elevator right after Deb finds out about the blood slide? I would like to quote it. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Monthly, beep, beep. I mean, it's just like
effing nugget. Beep,
yeah.
Beep.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
That was good stuff. So, you know, right after, later, they go into the garage and they're having that conversation. And she learns from Dexter that he has been, you know, ever since the show started, he manipulates some cases to get the people that they're going after.
Yeah.
So that really pissed her off.
Right. She said, what happened to only getting people who slipped through the cracks? And then she creates a new rule for him, which is, you know, you never take a case from the police department again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And makes him promise. And she doesn't really believe him.
Of
course. She seemed so much more upset with that than the fact that, hey, we have Isaac Sirko coming to kill us all. Oh, and I manipulated the evidence. You manipulated the evidence?
How dare you?
I don't care about this Terminator coming to kill us.
So they go, speaking of Terminator, they also end up going to a hotel room, right, during that movie. But Dex and Deb, you know, Dex makes his plan. Okay, we have to sleep at a hotel room tonight while I figure things out and get everything set. Doesn't that sound very convenient for them to be put into a little intimate potential situation?
Also, yeah. Listen, Dexter, like, you got her into this situation, like, spring for a nice room, okay? And give her own room and
give her the bed by the door. Yeah.
You know what? You would think that they would go to a nicer place
right.
so that they would have better security, you know, all the electronic locks and everything.
Yeah.
If they're in a seedy place, they're going to be an easier target.
Yeah, totally.
Duh. Yeah, ridiculous.
A little criticism right there. I just
that scene between them, though, it was like they were talking. You notice how Deb, like, Dexter takes his shirt off and Deb's turned around. And as soon as she turns around, she sees him, she's like this and goes back.
It was
like,
catch that, actually.
She's got those feelings still coming about again.
I must say, she looked pretty. She didn't look that great in her outfit for her pajamas, but she had nice legs.
I thought she looked hot. I remember thinking at that moment, I was like, you know what? I think he really messed up divorcing this woman. Like, I like them together. I wish they would have stayed together. I thought she looked hot, and I just think that they, I don't know, should have.
The shorts could have been shorter.
There's something I was confused about in that moment. She said, "This is not how I ever imagined spending tonight." And what was tonight? Because then she started talking about Myrtle Beach and
what
happened tonight?
That is a really good point. I heard her say
something
that
with her mom.
Well, it was just like a family vacation, I think referring to, and they were getting nostalgic about that, but it did seem like she wanted to, like, just that statement, the way you're analyzing it from that perspective, it seems like she wanted them to be alone in a nice hotel, like the Hilton or something over there in Miami. Ooh.
Beachfront.
No, but I mean, it could have been, you know, the anniversary of Harry's death or, you know, something.
I wondered if it was the mom's death. I got to go back and watch it because I missed that too.
Yeah.
But I thought there was definitely something with that comment.
There's something there.
They really didn't go too deep into that whole avoiding the certain places, though, if you notice, though. Because, like, he goes through this whole rule plan, like, you need to go exit every exit, like, do that. He went really into it, and then the only thing that they really did was do the hotel room. Like, I don't know, like,
for one night.
Yeah, it feels like they kind of had all those rules and then kind of half-assed it a little bit for the doing those rules. And then you see Dexter driving his own car and everything, and still it's, I don't know.
Yeah, that was pretty odd.
It was good. It felt like they worked it up a lot just to make an excuse for that one hotel scene.
You know, I'm glad that it was just one night that they had to spend in the hotel because I can't imagine them dragging it out and making it feel like there's more time that happens in one episode where it's like multiple nights that they have to, you know, avoid Isaac. So I'm glad it went this way.
Yeah.
I thought it was so smart of Dexter to, you know, he noticed his curtains were open, and so he did that move with the answering machine. I thought that was brilliant.
That was a nice decoy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Hey, I'm going to meet you there at that their restaurant here at 1 o'clock.
That was hilarious.
I think the phone's for you, sir. Perfect setup.
This is just a reason to have answering machines if you're living a kind of shady life.
So. Seriously. Who has answering machines?
Dexter Morgan, that's who.
But then again, like, it's great that he sent away Harrison.
Yeah.
What would have happened if Harrison and Sam were still there? Like, whoa. That would have been bad.
No kidding.
Yeah, he probably would have pulled Harrison's teeth out with those pliers he had.
Yeah, that had to happen. He had to get Harrison out of there for these last two seasons.
There's not too much in the line of Deb and Dexter, is there?
No,
I'm itching to go for some Isaac Bascot.
Well, before we go there, I wanted to tell our listeners to remember to go on iTunes and, you know, type in Dexter AfterBuzz TV in the search bar there. Check out our podcast. Download it. Give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Don't forget to do that. Comment and only, you know, tell your friends. It only takes a minute, right?
It does. And our listeners have been commenting on iTunes and YouTube. And I do want to respond to just a couple of things. Somebody mentioned that Quinn has a significant weight loss, and I noticed that too.
Yeah,
that he looks super skinny, and his like face is like skeletal.
It's like sucked in.
Very.
Yeah,
cheekbones.
So I don't know if this is for the season. If like he's like on coke now, because I feel like that could easily play into the storyline.
It could, because he is that dirty cop,
right? Or if he's actually on cocaine, but. Maybe it's like for another role. I don't know, but he definitely has a weight loss. Does anybody have any information? Or
I mean, what we should do is just look up IMDb, see what's in like post production right now, and see if he's like gaining the weight back after that.
Check that out,
because I know there's Christian Bale is one of those big connoisseurs of losing weight, gaining weight for roles.
We also had somebody comment. Was it on iTunes or was it on YouTube? Someone commented, I think it was Carlos Alejandro, and thanks for commenting, Carlos, and. He mentions that we keep referring to them as Russians. And he mentions a bunch of other stuff. It's a big paragraph. It's awesome. If you guys want to check it out, you can. But he says we keep saying Russians and they're Ukrainians.
Ukrainians.
So yes, we have. I think we have mentioned that a couple times. Yeah. But we just keep calling them Russians. I don't know why. Should we change our whole thing now and just call them Ukrainians?
We try to be as least racist as possible here. So we don't want to mix it up. But it comes out how we think of it.
I was quoting Masuka last week when I said Russians, because he called them white Russians on
ice. That's right.
That was a good one.
And that was a hilarious joke, I must say.
Yeah.
It fit well. And come on, like, ultimately, do we live in Europe? Do we live in, you know, that part of the world? No. So sometimes we refer to Ukrainians, Russians.
We group things together a little bit.
They're part of the former USSR.
Hey. Don't go there.
I'm just kidding. Well, anyway, so what was it that you wanted to get into, Stephen?
You wanted to get into Isaac.
Oh, well, yeah. I definitely want to get into Isaac. Isaac is like... I love John Lithgow. Great, great season with the Trinity Killer. I'm really liking Isaac, though, as a mortal enemy for Dexter. Just the way they play off each other. Like, they're in the same room with a pane of glass between them at the jail, and I still feel like either one of them could be killing each other at the same time. Like, the way he told that story, like, I don't want to go into the story yet. We can go from the beginning about what Dexter does to set him up and everything. But I'm just really excited that we actually have somebody who's actually intimidating as a main archenemy.
Oh yeah,
I totally agree. I am so thrilled with this. I think he's fantastic, and like you said, like every scene is so intense. And you did, even though there was a glass in between them, you felt like either one could grab the other one's neck at any point and like kill them. Like it's so intense. It's fantastic to watch.
I didn't feel it at all last season.
Yeah,
like I'm sorry, but
I totally agree.
No offense to Colin Hanks. Right?
Yeah.
Colin Hanks.
No offense to Colin Hanks, but he was not intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree that the magic is back. The only thing, the conversation that they had at the end, though, was a little, I saw at some point that Michael C. Hall was just like, yeah, I'm actively listening, like nodding, like little like eyebrow twitches, like, yeah. So I thought that was a little funny. And also, there was like, he told this really long story about his great uncle and his grandfather, and, you know, and he was like, the revenge that was his personally. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but doesn't Florida have the death penalty? Like, you're probably going to die. Like, honestly.
Well, then again, the death penalty does take years and years and years to implement. And once you do have someone on death row,
they still end up sometimes getting paroled as well.
But my point is, he's probably not going to be able to kill Dexter himself.
Like, he's going to have someone from the mob get him.
Okay, but his story was about how he was going to have that sweet revenge himself. His grandfather had, like, waited since he was a teenager and, like, waited when he found, like, that fat man. And, you know, listen, it was a great story, but he's wrong. Like, he's going to die in prison. Like, if this is accurate, if they're going to play by the actual rules, just saying.
True that. I don't know. They have...
He is a pretty old man. He's got the gray hair. Right. Like, how long is it going to take for him to get out of jail and knife Dexter with a 6-inch blade?
No. Right.
I mean, he looked like he had some aces up his sleeves. Like, he's not going to be in jail long. You ever look at old mafia things, like stuff like that, and the mob? The leaders never stay in jail very long. So I honestly think he'll be out quickly. The story was more just to keep Dexter on his toes and
make us, the audience, feel it's not over.
I mean, it was a great story.
It was a great story.
Talking like my grandfather was taken out by this man. Oh, his hatred in his eyes. We sent him to jail in Siberia. It's like, oh, crap.
They're hardcore over there.
Yeah.
For sure are.
Jesus.
Yeah, what if he's wearing contacts? He can't really do that.
No, he was just like this. He was squinting to see what was going on. Oh, you're going to jail.
Yeah. I really, really quickly just want to throw in, I did look up, Quinn is not doing any other projects. His last project was Dark Knight Rises, and
Do I mean that?
He was in Dark Knight Rises. Quinn was in Dark Knight. Yeah.
Anyway,
what part was he in?
Here's the point, guys. Is that,
I don't remember.
He doesn't
either.
Have any.
No, I think I did. I think I did see him.
He doesn't have anything in post production.
No, but
he was probably a police officer.
For those of you who don't know, that's the Bane mock voice right there.
Mock voice nothing. This is Bane.
What a beautiful voice.
This is what I live with.
What's the actor's name who plays Quinn again?
Desmond...
Washington? I want to say Washington.
Okay, hold on.
Anyway, I actually saw him in this really good, like, sci-fi romantic comedy called Timer.
Harrington.
Okay, I was close with the Inkton.
And he was in Dark Knight Rises.
He was. Mm-hmm. I wonder who... He must have been a cop.
He was.
But I played an explosive.
While you're looking
it
at...
It says uniform.
He was a uniform officer.
Called it.
Said.
Yeah. Yes.
He seems like the type to play a cop.
He is a cop, though. Like, through and through, he plays a good cop.
He was also on Gossip Girl.
Oh, my goodness.
Goodness.
Is he like one of the professor love interests or something?
His name's Jack Bass. Oh. I'm Jack Bass.
That sounds like a porn star name.
All right, anyway.
So let's get back to Isaac.
Yeah, so we digress.
So anyway, and very interesting how Isaac's following Dexter around the city, and Dex is like, don't worry, I'm not going to lose you. That was hilarious. Like that. Hilarious, and he leads him right into the den of a Colombian gang. And
also a brilliant move.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, obviously, in the past, like, teasers that we've seen for this episode, Isaac, like, he turns around and he shoots in, like, this really cool-looking Matrix-style fashion, and clearly he was going to survive.
Well, he took some pretty knifty hits.
Nice.
You see the shotgun blast? That was a good effect, getting it clipped away his forehead, the slash on his arm.
There was a line on Family Guy once that said, why are bad guys such terrible shots? And, I think that's hilarious, and I love the scene, don't get me wrong, but the guy with the shotgun was like 3 feet away from him.
Why do people aim for the head? Aim for the torso.
Because they want to hear that nice headshot.
Yeah, aim for the torso, at least they'll fall down, then you can go for the head if they're not dead.
Seriously. But Deb said it best, he was literally the Terminator in that scene. Mm-hmm. He just went in there and he assassinated everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, what was there, three guys?
Yeah, there were three guys. The bartender and then the two Goombas or whatever.
The one guy, he fractured his skull by freaking head stomping.
He stomped him. Guys.
Were there four?
No, there were three.
You're right.
Because he ran out of ammo after the two. But, geez. But like, what was I going to say? Yeah, and the only reason that Isaac got out of that is because the two guys talked to each other and said Kashkas. And Isaac recognized that and was like, oh,
that's
they know
my
who
name.
I am. Yeah. I don't know who these guys are. But he got alerted, pretty much. He was alerted, and he just smirks. It's just like the greatest little moment there with him smirking because he knows Dexter set him up. He's like, this is interesting.
Yeah. That was pretty neat. I didn't view it as a smirk, though. I felt it was more like a, oh, crap kind of thing. Really?
No.
You thought it was a smirk? Maybe I was like,
he was totally
taking
like,
my notes or something.
It was like that, oh, I've been got. Like,
yeah.
Hey, and it was kind of like, nice work. Yeah, you know, like, and he said to
like
Dexter,
he tips his hat to him.
Yeah, I underestimated you.
Yeah,
he said, worthy. Yeah.
Prey.
No.
Adversary.
Thank you.
Yes.
Why can't I think of it?
Yeah, so that was very interesting, and you know, right after that scene, he obviously flees back to the foxhole, our favorite place, right, Steven?
Yeah, I love in the foxhole. I love every scene that is filmed there. It's pretty great.
And we see Quinn there with Nadia, and they allude to Quinn being a dirty cop, and they leave a bunch of money in his car. And like, that was a fat stack of hundreds upon hundreds, right? That was like, it looked like
10 like, grand per rubber band. So
seriously.
20 grand for what?
That was insane. Yeah, for what? Exactly.
So like what? So Quinn could have thrown it out the window there, but what would have happened?
Put in his glove box.
Exactly. No, I was saying he could have, but he didn't, so now he's on their payroll, and he is...
And that's why he's going to die.
Ooh, predictions.
Someone else will die.
Wow.
So, of course, fast forward, we have Isaac brought in with the blood evidence. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dexter. Your blood spatter and analysis came in handy with that. And he gives a nice little eyebrow raise, as you pointed out, Stephen, right? I enjoyed that. And he has that conversation with him, which what we were talking about. Anybody else have something to say about that conversation between the glass?
Between the glass?
Yeah. Over at the jail cell.
Not really. I was more expecting him to say something about the people who he has outside of the jail that Dexter should be worried about.
Yeah, absolutely. Dexter's going to have all of his other mob guys go after Dexter.
He has no name, but we see him in every episode. It is the bodyguard.
The driver.
Yeah, like,
the baldy.
I bet he has a pretty big part to play in something coming up later. Like, even if Dexter uses him as some bait or something. But I'm seeing him doing something more. Or Quinn kills him. Prediction. Sorry. Whatever.
It's okay. So, anyway, let's go ahead and talk about our fall lineup that we got going on here at AfterBuzz TV.
Really?
We have some awesome shows going on. We got over 50 shows going on this fall.
Oh, so I feel like they're all on Sunday night, too.
Seriously, so many good shows. Like tonight, Dexter, Homeland, The Walking Dead,
Once Upon a Time, Revenge.
Yeah.
666.
We got so many awesome shows, and JJ, you're hosting 666,
in
right?
Nashville on Wednesdays.
And Nashville, and then we got Anna over here. What are you doing?
I'm doing Revenge tonight. I have The New Normal on Tuesdays.
Very cool stuff, man. Yeah. And so many good shows. Like, Doctor Who's a big one also. That wrapped up before we came on tonight. So
and then I got American Horror Story on Thursdays.
I want to start watching that.
You haven't started watching it?
I haven't. I've only seen 5 minutes of the first pilot episode. That was it. And it was like where that little kids were in the house playing. It was like...
Yeah. The first season is so amazing.
The first episode's all right. Second episode's great, though. So it's gearing up for something cool.
Basically, what we're trying to say is, if it's on television,
it's here.
We have an after show for it. If you enjoy our after show and you enjoy another television show, likely you will enjoy that show as well.
Also, if you enjoy the voice of Sir Richard Wentworth, then you will definitely love our AfterBuzz TV shows. Yes.
I enjoy it. I liked it when he was Wooly Bear the Trucker.
Yeah, I missed that one.
That was awesome. So let's go ahead and talk about Hannah McKay now.
Ooh,
dude. Oh. She is turning out to be quite the wolf in sheep's clothing. Right?
Trouble. We called that, though.
Yeah.
We said that.
I think everybody had a prediction about her being something a little bit more sinister than just the blonde chick.
Yeah, absolutely.
She couldn't just be sweet. You knew she was going to have a little something extra to her.
But like Dexter, the way he interacts with her, because he definitely could have.
Yeah, so she actually, what was actually interesting about the way they were interacting with each other at first in the episode, when she was pointing out the trophies and whatnot and where they were located on the map, she seemed like she was actually nervous with Dexter. Like, he didn't want her to be disapproved, or he didn't want her to be disappointed. Wait, he didn't want...
She didn't want him to be disappointed in her
because it seems like she likes him in that scene, particularly in that scene.
Yeah,
what did you guys think?
He rustled her feathers a little bit when he's like, "Put the giraffe down. Give me back your giraffe." And she's like, "No, it's his giraffe."
Yeah.
Randall's
giraffe.
Well, she definitely likes him. It was really creepy because when they were exhuming the bodies, she said, "It's like we're on a date sharing a first sexual experience."
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like, you know,
and that's what serial killers, that's what they feel like. Well, it's so pleasurable for them to do the kill.
And she also said with the giraffe, he said she's nostalgic, which I thought was key to the other, like, oh, they keep him, you know.
She looked like Dexter with a glass slide.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely. Great. Good parallelism right there. So, I thought it was so funny. Like, I kept saying this while we were watching, like, oh, there's Batista exiting again to give him some alone time. Very convenient. Well done with the writing.
And the heat is an ongoing factor here. Like, there's very, like, small things that I'm wondering if they're going to bring back for, like, a big, like, something to do with something. Like, because I know they've had the heat waves going on right now in Miami. Are they going to have something that has to do with heat and a time between somebody dying because of it or something? I don't know. I just noticed small things like that. I'm going to shut up now.
Yeah. I thought it was...
It's a really good point.
Yeah. It was cool how Batista mentioned that and stuff. Also, I liked how they talked about her scar on her hand, which, of course, it was the first time we saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, in criminal justice crime scene classes, we learned all about that. You know, a lot of times when people are stabbing their victims, when a killer is stabbing their victims, they often hit, like, you know, because they're going for the torso, the heart, they hit the sternum, and that's a really tough area. Your hand slides down the knife because you're not expecting all that resistance there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting how they demonstrated that really well with her.
Yeah, attention, you do have bone covering your heart, just so everyone knows.
It's the most protected area.
Oh, mosquito sound effect. Gotta leave for a second. No.
Yeah, so... Anything else to add to Hannah? Anna?
This is going to get confusing, because I'm Anna and she's Hannah.
Yeah.
No, just when they were with the bodies, it really seemed like she was reliving it and, you know, wanted to stay on top of everything, just kind of look at what was going on.
Stay on top of everything like she was on top of her victim before.
Boom.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Yes!
Nice! Love the sound effects. When, So, you know, we've all seen the preview for next episode. What do you think? Do you think because the first thing it throws into you is to think Dexter is going to target Hannah as his next Dark Passenger's feast.
He's going to, and it looks like she's probably going to be targeting him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still think there's going to be any sort of romantic interest there, though?
No.
I
changed my mind too.
And I'm the one who predicted that I thought they were going to get together and they were going to kill together or even be like a team. And after that, seeing that trailer, I think we were totally wrong. I think he's going to definitely target her and...
It's like
I don't see a team forming.
That was my first instinct to do that, but at the same time, the preview for the second episode was seeing Isaac walk up to the boat and says, "Hello, Dexter," and then in the real episode, it's Lewis. They like to steer you towards thinking something.
They do.
So yeah,
I'm not going to give up all hope that maybe Dexter's not trying to kill her.
Good twist.
Maybe.
It would be nice to see them sleep together. He hasn't had any sexual...
Well, that's why I thought that's why they were going to do it, because he really hasn't had anything good for a while. And it's like, maybe I'll give him a little action. But
we don't know that. I mean, it doesn't have to be whatever.
Well, I'm sure Dexter is... he's really overall disinterested in sex.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
The writers might just be like, it's been about 100 pages since Dexter's had something... Write in a character, Hannah. I think that's a good name.
Yeah, he liked it back in the day. No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, man. So, Masuka, what did you think of Masuka's whole thing in the very beginning? Like, am I getting canned? Am I getting canned?
That was a nice way to open up so that we could see what's going on with LaGuardia and Deb. I thought that was good comic relief with Masuka, as usual.
And I think it makes sense. I think that I would... feel that way, certainly. Any normal person would feel that way.
But I don't see any other way for them to have discovered about the blood slide, though. It was kind of clever writing to have Masuka be the one who actually knows about it, because it's not suspicious that Masuka would know about it, because he's the one who actually deals with all that.
This is actually a dangerous situation, it feels like, because the more people are going to hear about the blood slide with Travis's blood on it, the more people are going to see, like, hey, why did LaGuardia disappear if it gets to that point, you know, where Dex, kills her or something. Or like, or even if she died and she didn't disappear and, like, her body's found or whatever.
Maybe LaGuardia will get blown up after they think that she's the vampire.
And they'll pin everything on her, too. Yeah. That's awful.
They can bury her and Dokes together, and then I can go laugh at the grave because I don't like either of them.
Yeah, but Batista, what's going on with him? Not too much. He's angered at Deb now.
I would be too.
Yeah.
She's doing the political game, but she's also doing it so that she can protect Dexter.
That's right.
She pulled a freaking LaGuardia.
Yeah, she's the new LaGuardia.
I think she could have handled that differently.
Yes, she could have. She and Batista have a long... relationship, a long history, and
she got promoted ahead of him. Ouch.
Right, yeah, exactly. He was supposed to have that promotion and they gave it to Deb instead, and she definitely could have handled that a little bit more delicately. Yeah. So,
well, there's nothing to lead it back to Dexter, really. I mean, we already have Alex or Isaac Serco in custody.
We do.
What would it hurt to tell Batista, I think you're right, you might as well go and investigate that? It's the only way it'd lead him is to Victor, and they already have Victor's name. They already know who he is, so it's like, I don't know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, too true. Let's, did you guys, we'll get back to that, but let's go ahead and tell everybody we're going to do our news and gossip. As soon as we... Well, I guess we're going to do it now.
Those are forbidden words.
I was going to say, let's do it after that last thing. But anyway, let's go ahead and we'll probably... you turned it off. Okay, so what were you guys saying?
I don't like the fact that they're throwing in yet another storyline of people being pissed at each other. Like, last season it was Batista was pissed at Gwen. Now it's going to be Batista's pissed at Debra, and they're going to have to write in some new thing for Batista to not hate Debra anymore. And it's just like, we don't need this random extra plot when it could have been solved by Debra just saying stuff. But I guess maybe it's just setting Debra up for being more political later in the future or something.
Well, that's what, I think if Deb is going to take sides with Dexter, that there's clearly got to be somebody that's maybe a little bit onto her.
But I guess she did choose Dexter over Batista, and that's something, because she's so tight with Batista.
Well, of course she's going to choose her brother.
Yeah, but
she loves more than a brother sometimes.
So weird. I think it might also just be a foreshadowing of Deb's new Deb.
Her new role.
The new Deb.
Covering things up, manipulating cases to help out Dexter a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So let's go ahead and move into news and gossip now. Thank you, Marissa. TV news. So I actually have a song that I sent Marissa, and she's supposed to be queuing it up off of YouTube. Oh, there it is. Yes. So this song is by the composer. Of course, we hear this sometimes on the show, right? When Dexter's maybe like stalking his prey out there. Tonight's the night. It's going to happen again. And this is by Daniel Licht. He is the composer.
Licht.
Licht? Is it Licht?
Licht.
What is he, German or something? Do you know?
I don't know.
I didn't
but
do too much research on him.
It's a German last name. It's Licht.
Okay, very good. So Daniel Licht. And you guys can check out his website if you want. I think it's daniellicht.com. And it's L-I-C-H-T. Daniel, L-I-C-H-T. And some interesting news that I saw off of Dexter's fan page is that Daniel Licht is actually going to be performing tomorrow night for a special... it's Daniel Licht and special guests, so probably the cast of Dexter, someone may be there. So that's going to be interesting, and that's Daniel Licht right there.
With a pretty sweet guitar.
That is a crazy... What is that? I don't even know what instrument that is. It's like this big, huge... It's like a round guitar.
Where is he performing?
He's going to be performing at the Largo, which is at the Coronet, or the Coronet Club, I think, and that's here in L.A. So tickets are $25. It's pretty interesting. Last time in April... They actually had Daniel Licht doing the same thing, doing another performance there at the same place, and Michael C. Hall came, and he spoke to the audience, he gave an introduction.
Awesome. So $25 for a Monday night. What else are you going to do on a Monday night? Especially before Halloween, listening to this kind of music.
Perfect.
Yeah, and this music is so cool and like creepy and makes you like have a chill to the bone sometimes. With us, it's probably different.
You said he also did like Silent Hill kind of stuff?
This guy did Silent Hill. He's probably doing music for the new Silent Hill, which is coming out. But he also did Thinner, and he does Dexter, obviously. So that movie Thinner back in the day, Stephen King film, kind of cheesy a little bit.
Yeah.
But funny side note, the guy who stars in Thinner, I totally don't remember his name, but he kind of looks like Quinn. David Harrington, he kind of looks like that actor a little bit, but just like a much, much older version.
We've got IMDb coming up.
Pretty interesting.
Searching.
And Anna, you had some news and gossip, right?
Is this accurate?
Joe Mantegna?
Is that the guy's name?
Richie Ginelli?
Robert John Burke?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay, Robert John Burke.
He kind of looks like that guy, and I just saw that guy. He played a cop, like a captain, in the movie Safe with Jason Statham.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, he looks like an older Quinn. It's so funny. And even with the skinnier thing, it reminded me of that movie Thinner because he was getting all skinny in that movie with the makeup effects and everything.
How does that really occur?
Looks like my uncle.
Because he was going to waste away to nothing. Hello.
Whatever.
prediction, Quinn turns into dust and gets out of there. He turns into dust like that Minotaur.
Okay, all right.
So your news and gossip,
Anna. So this is actually a spoiler, serious spoiler, guys. So.
Big time.
Spoiler alert.
So let's say about... Sound effect. 2 minutes of don't listen.
So this is actually, I believe, for episodes 7 and 8. There's going to be a new character that comes on who's a writer. And the character's name is Sal Price, and he's being played by Santiago Cabrera. And he writes, he wrote about the crime spree for Wayne Randall and Hannah McKay.
So you mean his character was
his
the
character.
Wrote about those events?
Right.
Okay.
So he can prove to be a useful character that that it was not really Wayne who initiated all the killings. Mm-hmm. And it could maybe signal, the end of Hannah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the end of Hannah, like, she's not going to be killed or...
Well, like, she will be killed. Obviously be killed or sent to jail.
Well, she has immunity for anything done with Wayne.
Then killed, yes.
You know, it's going to look so suspicious. Oh, my gosh. But, well, let me say this in the predictions. I was not expecting that. So let's go ahead and move into predictions.
Now. And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Stop being here.
No, hey, I do that never. Thing, too. Do you think I'm weird?
You don't do it over my head, though, and, like, over my face.
Very well. So... Anyway, my prediction is Dex will kill Hannah next episode.
Next episode?
Next
that
episode.
Quickly.
I think so.
Whoa.
We've been having her throughout the, like, for the last, what, 3 episodes?
We're sick of her.
And we finally found out that she's not an innocent bystander. She's not someone who's manipulated. She killed. And she has immunity. But it's going to be a really big problem because she's been helping out the department and then she suddenly disappears. Come on, Dexter.
You're getting sloppy now.
Yeah.
All right. Anything, mine, I don't think it's next episode, but I was definitely thinking she was getting killed too. I think Quinn and Hannah are both going to go.
I think Isaac's going to kill Hannah and not Dexter.
What?
Yeah.
It's going to be like an accident. Like, she's going to be in Dexter's place, and then a mob guy's going to come in and boom.
That would be too Lewis, but I think it's going to be something along those lines, and I don't think it's going to be next episode. I think I'm, because if we're thinking about going back to that, I'm not going to go back to that spoiler, but we got to have at least two more episodes, right? But no, I don't think she's going to die in that kind of Dexter way. I think Dexter's going to find somebody else to do that too. And definitely Quinn's going to die. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, I am sticking to a prediction that I still think that Deb is going to join Dexter. I know that she said that she wants it to keep it separate, but I don't believe it. I think she's still going to team up with him. So there you go.
Very well. Well, thanks again for joining us, to our lovely audience who comment us, and don't forget to rate us 5 stars. We want that rating, guys.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to tune in next week. We're going to have an awesome guest. Thanks to Anna. Woo! Once again, we're going to have David Mack. He is the illustrator for the webisodes of Dexter Early Cuts, which I watched all of them within the past 2 days. They're really very good. Entertaining.
Mm-hmm. They are. He's very talented.
So we're going to have that guy here, and man, where can we find everybody?
I am at JJ Jurgens on Facebook and jjjurgens.com.
You can find me at Stephen Lemieux on Twitter. Pretty easy.
You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And you can find me at Sean_Overman on Twitter. And again, thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll see you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.